Welcome to Echo Podcast 13.17. Those are spooky numbers. Welcome to the MGO Blog Podcast. I'm Brian Cook.
I'm Seth Fisher, and I just think I missed that shot, too. I can't get it to go in. Sorry, Brian.
Thanks. Great. Love it.
I just missed again. See that? I'm just off.
Stop doing that.
I'm really off today.
Cease. The MGO Podcast is sponsored by Underground Printing. Reach and Ryan have been our biggest supporters from the start. They have 3 retail locations in Ann Arbor and offer thousands of University of Michigan athletic products. Check out ugpmichiganapparel.com or find our stuff at mgoblogstore.com. We also want to thank all of our associate sponsors, Peak Wealth Management, Homeshare Lending, Ann Arbor Elder Law, Michigan Law Grant, Human Element, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, Signal Wire from the Cheap Seats, the Sklarbos Podcast, Team Fan Club, and Prentice 4M, which is where we usually are. But again, COVID intervenes. So as Seth mentions, Michigan loses to Michigan State by 16. In a game where they get outshot at the 3-point line by 18 and extremely frustrating because they played, I thought, very well in the first half. You know, they go in down 4 because they're just not hitting anything. They go 3-19 from the line from the game and they got kind of bushwhacked in the first 10 minutes of the second half. But going into halftime, they had, I think, 6 or 7 more shots than Michigan State. They're getting a ton of offensive rebounds, they're forcing turnovers, and just nobody can hit a shot. And I don't think that was shot quality. Those were excellent open looks for the most part, and they just didn't go down. So for the game, Hunter Dickinson's 8-17 on looks that are almost all around the rim from 2, goes to the line 10 times. He and Diabate are the only Michigan players with a O rating over 100. And I think, you know, they get behind. They go into halftime, they come out of halftime, and then it's just like Breslin Center time, where they're not playing well, it kind of gets in their head, and they just fall apart.
Yeah, fortunately, I couldn't understand what the students were chanting every single time, because I'm sure they're really clever and would have cut much deeper. But the, I think just getting blasted at the beginning of the second half like that, because you felt like if Michigan could keep up that effort, but then it was like, can they keep up that effort? It was, I don't know, maybe they just got a little blown out in the first half and just didn't get enough out of it. Because like the forcing turnovers thing was really just Michigan was playing out of their minds. And like, I think when you're playing that hard and you don't get the results that you're hoping for, I mean, maybe that kind of just, you know, what do I got to do? And, you know, Michigan State hit some tough threes right coming out of the break. And like, that was just, it felt like it was over at that point. I know, like, once that air went out of the bubble, it was done.
Yeah, this team continues to just get victimized very badly by what I call eye roll shots, where they hit it and you just care like, ugh, yeah, seriously.
And it's, I mean, yeah, I just wanted to say it wasn't one of those where like, okay, our guards are short kind of shots. They're just like falling back 4 feet from the 3-point line. It's like, okay, if you're gonna hit that, Max.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of Max Christie threes in this game where it's just like, okay, that's the way it is, I guess. but and then just in terms of what Michigan was doing, what I just don't understand why Michigan was blitzing screens with Hunter Dickinson. It doesn't, like, if you look at the statistical profiles of the guards here, Walker takes a pull up three once or twice a game. Hit one in this game, and AJ Hogard can't shoot at all. Both those guys are like 25% on other twos. So this is like the very profile of drop coverage.
Right.
Like, this is drop coverage all day, every day. And said they blitz screens and AJ Hogard comes up with 10 assists. I mean, I don't know what the thought process there was, but you know, you're wearing out Hunter Dickinson, you're letting guys live at the rim. You don't really, you don't have the ability to play that. I mean, Tyson Walker splitting those screens. It just, I don't know if I've seen a Juwan Howard coach game yet where I was just like, I strenuously disagree with this coaching decision.
And they kept doing it. Like, I saw, give it a shot a couple times against Hoger because maybe he's not the best ball handler. He can create some turnovers. And I thought that was what they were trying to do, not necessarily prevent pull-ups. But like you said, like, once it wasn't working, cut it off. Like, just go back to drop coverage. Like, that's what your team is. And, I mean, it's not like you're exposing your biggest weakness on defense, right? So, like, if it doesn't work and it's a low-risk chance, right, like, you're best chance is that Hunter gets his arm in there and knocks the ball away and forces a turnover because they're not really going up. So your best shot is that he gets it. And then in a circumstance that he doesn't, you're splitting him and get who's the help defender? It's Caleb Houston. Like that's your worst defender.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell you what the thought process was behind that. And I know Matt D was posting similar stuff during the game, but this is like in the preview I wrote for this, I was like, this is a pretty clear instance where drop coverage is going to be just fine. Because, yeah, Tyson Walker has some pull-up three ability, but I mean, they blitz this coverage and they give up 58% on twos. They give up 23 shots at the rim.
Yeah.
Like, to 15 mid-rangers. And, like, it's just, like, last year they were so good at forcing guys away from the rim. And in this game, they really did not. And there's a clear reason why. And baffling. Frankly, like,
I mean, hopefully they get another game and they get to try it again. On the other end, I wanted to just credit Izzo because I thought just putting Bingham on Dickinson and not doubling down. I mean, every once in a while someone would venture down, but he would shoot back right back up to the perimeter. And I thought that was pretty smart play. Bingham was affecting those shots. So like Hunter, like his looks, when you look at the shot chart, they look like normal Hunter Dickinson shots. And he makes a good portion of those normally, but I think Bingham affected more of them than most people have.
Yeah, I mean, Dickinson shooting 62% on the season. He's under 50% here, and that was with pretty limited doubling, which honestly, I was surprised. I mean, the thing is that Dickinson would push Bingham off his spot and get to where he wanted to put up a shot, and usually that's money, and then Bingham is just so long. That he was able to impact shots. And I think if Hunter takes another dribble and puts Bingham all the way under the rim, he can just dunk the ball. But right. That's not what he does, right? He gets into his sweet spot and he has a short hook. And I don't think that if he played Bingham again, he'd be settling for those. I think he'd be trying to just blast him under the basket and dunk it. But that's something that I personally wasn't expecting. I don't think Hunter Dickinson was expecting it either. And Bingham's only played 16 minutes in this game because he was in foul trouble. So then you have 14 minutes of Julius Marrable and then a couple of minutes of Joey Hauser at the five. So there was a lot of time for Dickinson to get work done without Bingham on the floor. And I think that was the disappointing part to me, is that Dickinson wasn't able to have a good offensive performance. It was a decent offense. I mean, he put up 25 points, right? But
yeah,
he used a ton of possessions to do so. And it just wasn't to the point where Michigan State had to start doubling him and then compromise the structure of their defense and then let guys like Caleb Houston get off good shots.
Yeah, I'm surprised you went through Michigan State centers and didn't mention Mehdi Sissoko's box score, which was a trillion except for three personal fouls at the end of it. 1 minute.
Three personal fouls at 1 minute.
1 minute, three fouls. And he made a great face after every one of them. And then, of course, they would cut to Izzo, and Izzo would be screaming about it, too. And then they'd replay it, and it'd be a good foul, and it'd be like,
well,
not all of them were. One of them was a little.
I think those were so obvious that Izzo was mostly screaming at Sissoko. And he's like, that's not how you do basketball, bro.
But anyway, yeah, the point stands. And they were fouling him as soon as he started getting close to the circle. That was why those things were so obvious. That was part of their strategy, right? Like, let's just single him up. But I think that's worrying. We've seen that before. Obviously, Arizona is an example. When we play teams with bigs who can stand pat, we didn't get to see him even against Kofi. But, like, that's been Michigan's problem forever with Hunter, right? If you double Hunter, then he's going to get the ball out. Michigan's offense is running, and they got room. If you don't, no one else can really generate their own shot.
Yeah, like, who's the guy who's going to generate shots other than Dickinson? I think your number two shot generator now is actually Musa Diabate.
Yeah.
Because right? Yeah. He's able to go in the post. He generates a lot of shots off offensive rebounds. So he's a guy who you don't have to, like, feed, but there's just nobody to break a defense down. And, you know, the guys who you might hope would come along and be able to do that kind of midway through the season are Kobe Bufkin and Frankie Collins. And frankly, neither of them has really shown that ability yet, at least not with any consistency. Frankie does some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He's also got an 84-0 rating. So, and
we saw why a couple times on this one too. Like, he had another three that wasn't close. He had a layup. It was a beautiful move to the rim, and then he just missed the layup. But
yeah, I mean, missing a bunny is one thing. That's something that I don't expect will continue. But
yeah,
turnover prone guy who's currently 9-23 at the free throw line, got a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty disappointing.
Yeah, Kobe. But, I mean, he didn't play a lot in this game, but when he came out, I mean, he made a shot off the dribble that was, it was contested. It wasn't like a, it wasn't a three set up for him, right? So, and that's kind of what right. You're going to need to get out of him. So, I mean, it's coming. It's not going to come this year. If it does, it's going to come so late that it's not really going to help them, you know, unless he blows up in like a playoff game. But it's February next year, tomorrow, right? Yeah. By the time people listen to this, it's already February. I don't think that Kobe Bufkin's going to come around in the last 2 months.
We should probably briefly talk about the Northwestern game, which we did address at length on WTK this week. But in case you don't listen to that podcast, ultimate ref show where Dickinson and Diabate foul out, and Dickinson picks up two moving screen calls that are not his fault.
Yeah,
they are Devonta Jones's issue, and we've seen that far too often. You know, Dickinson does pick up a pretty silly frustration foul late in that game, but their ability to put Diabate on Pete Nance and then have Hunter Dickinson on guys like Robbie Barron, who just aren't going to threaten you defensively, allows Dickinson to play 29 minutes despite fouling out. Diabate only gets 21 minutes before fouling out himself. But Michigan is super hot from three in this one, 67%, and is able to just pip Northwestern despite picking up one offensive rebound, which is just a fluke. Like,
yeah.
Beyond fluky. So they're -8 in shots in this game because Northwestern has four fewer turnovers as well, and they pick up five offensive rebounds of their own.
Yeah, the piece of it that wasn't necessarily a fluke was that they're pulling. I mean, Michigan wanted to get some of their bigs out to the perimeter and create space down there because they thought that once you pulled Nance out of there, there's really nobody else who could defend them that well. But I thought that was basically the only difference, that normally Moose is one of the better rebounders, especially on the offensive boards. But yeah, I mean, it was just such a whistle fest that, like, you know, you could come down with a board because the whistle would blow while the ball was in the air every single time. It was just, nobody had any flow in that game. No one could get anything going. They were whistling on both sides. It wasn't just like it wasn't like the refs were trying to keep Northwestern in it. I thought it was just, they were calling everything.
I got to call out Chase Audige. Like, he took exactly one bullshit shot in this game. That's not who you are. Chase Audige, you gotta let your freak flag fly. It's just not the same, man. Like, you can't just go in there and be a responsible basketball player who mostly takes good shots. That's not your whole vibe. Your whole vibe is Wile E. Coyote. And if you're not really living who you are, why are you playing basketball in college for Northwestern and Chris Collins? The pinnacle of self-expression.
Do we play them again? Because I don't want you. Are we going to see them in the Big Ten tournament? Maybe, like, that's. I don't suggest that to him. We are the worst team for, like, because one of those games, Audige is going to make this happen. And
yeah, because Eli Brooks is giving up 1.6 points per possession on dribble jumpers.
Right.
All right. So, never mind. Chase Audige, if we see you in the tournament, please be your normal milk toasty self. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk about
Arbaugh stuff.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting U of M apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing in one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com. It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing will save you time and hassle. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, trying to collect sizes and payments for a family reunion, or, you know, ordering a whole bunch of shirts with your Kickstarter, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with their easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, wasting time trying to sort out the order. They'll set it up, you can just sit back and relax. They'll even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit them at any of their convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
At Peak Wealth, we believe we can help you retire with confidence. It's Nick Hopwood, certified financial planner from
Peak Wealth Management
in Plymouth. I graduated from Michigan in 2001 with an econ degree and founded Peak Wealth Management in 2014. And now we have over $240 million of assets under management. As a freshman in 97, winning the national championship in football and hockey didn't get any better than that. Both my wife and I lived in Bursley that year, and it's crazy because we never actually met while living in the same dorm. Probably because she had a car and I had to ride the bus. But we named our dog Bursley anyway, and he's on the payroll here at Peak Wealth Management. At Peak, we're fee-based. We're your fiduciary, which means everything we recommend is always in your best interest. We partner with leading institutional money managers, focus on low fees, and make sure every client has a financial plan covering retirement, college, tax, estate, insurance, and cash flow. Simply put, we are
Peak Wealth Management,
your comprehensive financial coach. Book your second opinion at peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
If you want to see where our post-game podcast happens, or if you need a spot to land in Ann Arbor, check out 4M, Prentice Partners' beautiful brand-new flagship property at 830 Henry Street in Lower Burns Park and across the bridge from the Big House. Their 11 spacious 6-bedroom, 6-bath suites feature state-of-the-art digital capabilities and are laid out for comfortable, efficient collaboration. You can also rent a 4M unit for shorter stays, say if you want to come to town for a football weekend. I want to add myself that they're also taking over Lucky's. We're really excited about their plans for that space. So if you're by the stadium, swing by 830 Henry or visit Prentice4M.com.
This is Matt Demrest, the owner of Homeshore Lending. We're a local mortgage company here to help you purchase with confidence and refinance with ease. People don't get mortgages very often, so it can be confusing. We'll break down every single line item so that it all makes sense. And at the end of the day, if we're not giving you the best deal, we'll tell you to go with the other company. We're here to offer our simple mortgage guidance.
This is Seth Fisher from MGO Blog. Over the years, we've sent dozens of readers to use Homeshore Lending, and every review that's come back has been raving. I myself used them to refinance after doing our original loan through our bank. I was amazed how much smoother the process was for our company. Complicated loan. Brian used them, you should use them too.
Finding out whether it makes sense or not to refinance or getting pre-approved to buy a new home is easy. Head over to homeshorelending.com, that's H-O-M-E-S-U-R-E lending.com/mgoblog to find out more. Or call us at 734-531-9950. That's 734-531-9950. I've got two of my favorite people here with me, kind of an annual tradition, Cooper and Colby. Cooper, how old are you?
11.
Colby, how about you?
9.
Can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue!
NMLS number 1161358, Equal Housing Lender.
Stuff. By the time you guys hear this, the situation may have changed, but he is interviewed with the Minnesota Vikings. who I'm told are a very unattractive job with no quarterback certainty or cap space. And there's a further rumor that the Dolphins might be interested. I don't think that's legit, just from what Sam has said and the fact that it's NFL side and not corroborated. So I kind of feel like that's not a real thing, but I do feel like he did interview with the Vikings. There are indications that if he gets offered the job, he's just going to take it. And it's just a little deflating because, you know, you're waiting for this guy to like actually break through, and then he does. And the first thing he wants to do is bolt.
Yeah, I mean, I think like it's really changed about the greater picture of what this offseason's been, which is Harbaugh knows this is his last chance, because if he doesn't get an NFL job now, he's going to sign. Michigan's going to put a contract in front of him that is not going to be, you know, a contract that he can leave, right? So it's going to be, do it now, or you're going to be at Michigan for the rest of your career, unless, you know, you do NFL at the end of it, or for like 3 years or something. So I think he understands that this is his last chance. Obviously, he wants it, which is, you know, kind of sucks that Michigan's coach doesn't want to be here, because part of the whole thing about college football is everyone wants to be there, right? The whole team signed up on their own. They had a choice to go to any school they wanted to, or, you know, within reason, and that's where they wanted to be. But I still take it as, look, Harbaugh wanted to go to the NFL, especially if he was going to do it again, this was his last chance. He explored it. The Raiders seemed like the best fit. If that wasn't going to happen, I thought that you would need the combination of a GM who really knows Harbaugh, who really thinks you can get along with him, and let him rebuild the program how he wants to. Now, what's happened with the Vikings is, I hope I don't butcher the name, but Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is a guy who, A, worked in the 49ers organization, and B, I don't know what's been reported very much, but he's good friends with Matt Weiss. And, you know, they are into advanced metrics, and that, I think, was the connection. So I think that they talked to Harbaugh. Harbaugh said he's interested. I just don't think that, A, Harbaugh is their number one target, and B, that Harbaugh is, like, super interested. I'm sure he's, like, you know, thinking it, and I'm sure he wants people to understand that he's, like, you know, wanted. But yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that the Vikings, you know, are exploring it, but I don't know if that relationship is so strong that they're going to want to commit to like a 5-year rebuild under Harbaugh, because how old is he going to be afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think this is his last chance to go back to the NFL. Like, he's 58, right? He's 59 next year. Like, all he has to do is have a good year at Michigan and even a competitive loss to Ohio State, and I think he'd still be of interest, right?
Well, yeah, but if he signs a contract that's got a $9 million buyout, that becomes another hurdle. And, you know, NFL teams right now are a little, you know, maybe we'll look at Harbaugh, but, like, this is the only team that really has even threatened to have him in the top three of their candidates. So I think that, like, as far as the news cycle goes, everyone's going to mention Harbaugh the second his name is part of a job. As far as like where he stands in the hiring cycle of this of the NFL, and there's a lot of jobs that opened up this year, and every single one of them just kind of closed up. Even ones where he played, even ones where he had connections before, like no one wanted him until this point. So I mean, if the Vikings want him, then yeah, that's the next big hurdle, and I still think that's a pretty big hurdle. And I think if you add a buyout that Michigan puts into a new contract, that would be one hurdle too many.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He can still have a buyout for his contract that's not that high. Like, mm-hmm. If that's what he... I don't know. I'm just kind of tired of talking about this stuff. It's February, right? Like, right. It seems like this has been going on since the day after the Georgia game.
Yeah, and that and the fact that, like, no one really pays attention to the second signing day, but Michigan still had some needs in this class and kind of want to have this locked up by Wednesday because, they need to get an edge defender. They want to go and start seeing if there's anybody they can get in the transfer portal. And people are moving, players are deciding where they want to go, and, you know, where you have guys looking around going, okay, coach, you know, make a decision. Obviously, we have to wait out the NFL on this thing, but that's part of the reason I think Michigan is going to make him, if he comes back to Michigan, he's going to have to sign a contract that makes it hard for him to leave. You know, I don't think they're going to give him something that has, you know, I don't think they're going to give him a Mel Tucker contract where it's like, please play for us for $10 million a year, but if you would like to play anywhere else, I hope they pay you the same amount. Like, he'll have a buyout that makes sure Michigan can get a pretty good coach if they lose Harbaugh, which they don't have right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's talking about internal promotions because it's like, well, who else are you going to hire?
Mm-hmm.
Because the carousel has already gone around and stopped.
Yeah. I mean, the candidates are still kind of the candidates. I have kind of heard that they're not really interested in playing it because they want to keep their staff intact. So you're not just looking at candidates who are potential Michigan coaches. You're looking at, like, okay, who will come with his defensive coordinator but nobody else because we're not going to hire any other staff? You know, who's willing to leave Josh Gattis in place because we don't want to move him out? That starts to become like, well, I think your list is getting kind of small at that point. And, you know, they're waiting to sign all these assistants to contracts, but they certainly want them back. And, you know, Gattis was in line for some head jobs this year. I'm sure if he doesn't get one this year, he's going to get one next year. That's not that bad of an internal hire. So, I mean, like, when you have the Broyles winner on staff, your floor is not that bad.
Right. Well, I guess whatever happens, happens.
Right. I mean, do we even talk about defensive coordinators right now, or do we have to wait this out?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear it'll be an internal hire.
You think so?
Well, Klingscale, his contract says that he has to be a co-DC.
Sure, but they still have another spot to offer. And
unless there's another wunderkind on the Ravens who they want to throw at us who knows the system already, then that might make some sense, but I don't know.
There is. I haven't looked at him yet, but I think there is another guy who's almost got like the exact same story as McDonald. But there's other options out there, too, that would not be too difficult to pull off. I mentioned one of them. I don't know if they've even kicked the tires on it, but like the guy that they groomed to replace Phil Parker in Iowa is pretty much ready. Like, he's your age, and he's a, you know, 10 years before Parker wants to retire. So does he want to be number two at Iowa? Or does he want to, you know, step ahead and be a DC now? There's a lot of candidates out there because Michigan's actually got quite a bit of money they could throw at this because I think they were planning on having to pay their coordinators more and Harbaugh was going to get more in his new contract anyway. So, I mean, they do have some money they can throw at this. Maybe even just get a super recruiting guy and let Klingscale call the plays. But I would hope that they get somebody who can do inside linebackers. That's the real need. No offense to George Hilo, but I think Hilo had the outside linebackers and is kind of a recruiting guy, and I don't know if he's going to follow McDonald back to the Ravens or not, but you know, they have some young linebackers. There's a lot of bad young linebacker play. I'm doing the UFR right now for Georgia, and I'm seeing it again, so you need somebody to develop Colson immediately. That's a major need.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. We'll take a break, come back, talk some hockey.
Hey, it's Nick Hopwood, founder and president at Peak Wealth Management. We have a lot in common. We both went to Michigan, we're both huge fans, but I'm concerned about how much time you're spending on Michigan football recruiting. This could be time spent with me poring over your cash flow and Roth conversion strategy. How are these Roth conversions going to get done with you spending all your time and energy on MGoBlog looking at the next five-star recruits? Hey, all kidding aside, if you're addicted to MGoBlog and you want to outsource some of your financial planning to an expert, consider us, peakwm.com/MGoBlog. At Peak, we work with people in a variety of situations. Some of our clients are young professionals looking to optimize their savings and investments. For young people, time is the key. Some of our clients are super affluent trying to figure out when they can retire. Some are high net worth retirees looking for a second opinion on how their money's working for them. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/mgoblog.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
TeamFanClub.com asks you to become a team sponsor for your university by financially supporting a men's or women's team at the University of Michigan. Under name, image, and likeness, college athletes can now earn money. Name, image, and likeness have athletes chasing money, losing valuable study time for classes, practices, and games. On TeamFanClub.com, Sponsors can make it easier for your favorite team and coach with a sponsorship. As a sponsor, you can pay a one-time payment or monthly payment starting at $20. A monthly payment by you of $20 or more will help your school's athletes tremendously. All players share equally, not just the starters. Team Fan Club provides fairness for all athletes who practice and train every day. TeamFanClub.com provides stability for players to stay at your school and not go into the transfer portal. This product makes so much sense. So, go to TeamFanClub.com and sponsor your team today.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages
approximately $100,000.
It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks, and you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He okay. looked at my insurance, and he was like, yeah, your coverage sucks, and you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also, like, I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games. Well, and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually, like, reads MGo Blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those, too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together, and you will save money on your insurance, and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life, too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease.
David and Alex talk some hockey. Michigan sweeps Wisconsin, slides a couple points ahead of Ohio State in the Big Ten race. They have just completed recording their own podcast, but we'll get the Cliff's notes for this one. How you guys doing?
Pretty solid.
We're all talked out.
Yeah?
I apologize for the timing of our podcast.
So Wisconsin is not a particularly good team, but it's good to see Michigan get two solid wins, despite not having a couple of their best players. And then, of course, the Olympic break is coming up now. So to bank a couple of points in the Big Ten race is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you needed to get wins in this weekend. You couldn't afford another loss to Wisconsin after what happened in the fall. So two big wins, and obviously you pick up a couple points on Ohio State in the process, and it helps that neither were terribly close games. You know, I mean, Wisconsin took a weird lead early in the second period in the second game, but quickly expunged by a flurry of Michigan goals, and both had pretty calm third periods. So you took care of business, and now you get a week to kind of calibrate and figure out what your lines are going to be now with your modified roster. And I think the bye week has come at the right time.
The other thing is, I think you look at some of the people that contributed, and you get Lambert getting a goal, you get LaPointe getting a goal, Ethan Edwards scores a goal and creates a couple other goals. And so it's not just like, you know, Beniers and Brisson are like carrying you one last time. I mean, Maddie had a good game on Friday, and I think Brisson had a good goal on Saturday, but you're also getting like that depth scoring from players who have not exactly like lit up the score sheet in the last few months.
No, and we mentioned him last week, but you brought up Edwards again. I think Edwards is had a second consecutive really strong weekend.
Well, they're playing him in the Owen Power spot. I mean, they're playing him next to Blankenberg. And, you know, I don't know who the one pairing is. I mean, because you could argue that it's Hughes and Triscuit, as we learned this weekend. But, you know, I think that both those pairs are going to get a lot of run. And Edwards is showing that, you know, he's creating in a power fashion.
Yeah, and Edwards just really continues to bring about offense from the blue line, which is kind of a storyline now, because the game on Saturday, you get 3 goals from your defensemen. You're now at 2 defensemen with 10 or more goals, and you haven't even played 30 games yet, which is pretty good. And so between Blankenberg and Hughes already being good shooters, creating offense, now Edwards enters the picture, and he'll get a couple weeks to even get a bigger role with Power gone. Then you get Power back at the end of February into March, and you know, that's 4 defensemen in your lineup on any given night who can really create offense, can move the puck, can lead breakouts and zone entries with possession. So Michigan has really built a blue line that is optimized to be able to handle a lot of offensive load for this team, which is a pretty nice luxury to have.
And we just kind of talked about this a little bit too, where, you know, Michigan didn't have the best defensive second period on Saturday, but the other periods, and then even going back to the last few series, other than some, you know, just individual breakdowns or gaffes, they've played pretty good team defense for, I would say, 9 games in a row now. I mean, like I said, you have your little flurries here and there that, you know, get you, but it's sports, that's going to happen. But overall, like, one of the issues that plagued the team last year, and then even in the beginning part of this year, was inconsistent defenses for games and weekends, and we're just not seeing that as much.
And, you know, I thought it was good to see Michigan get a couple of fairly dirty goals from Dylan Duke and Luke Morgan. Like, just even the Brisson goal on Saturday, you could be classified as that, because it's, I mean, he's in one of the tough areas and it just kind of flutters into the net after taking a deflection off a defenseman. So, you know, they haven't solely relied on ridiculous tic-tac-toe passing that results in a slam dunk, or, you know, Brisson ripping something to the top corner.
Yeah, and sometimes you see a combination of that. I mean, let's be clear here. Wisconsin's bad. That was pretty clear in both games. But I liked the goal that the LaPointe scored, where you had Michael Pastajov battling below the goal line, using the body, boxing out a defender, getting possession of the puck, and then making a pass to the slot where there happened to be no Wisconsin players anywhere near there. Don't know why that was. But LaPointe saw the open ice, skated into it, and Pasta did all the hard work. And, you know, those are 2 more guys who very well are likely to be in the lineup over the next couple weeks. And so you're going to need more and more plays like that to prevail over Ohio State, especially during the Olympic break, which continues to look like a really big series.
So they have next weekend off. They play the national team on Wednesday, and then they get a home in Detroit series against Michigan State, which is the bottom team of the conference. So, you know, and that's going to be really important, because they're going to play Ohio State next weekend, and Ohio State is their main competition for the title at this point. I mean, I think they need to sweep this series if they're going to win the Big Ten.
Which series?
The Michigan State series.
Probably. I mean,
yeah,
you kind of have to look at what else happens. I know Ohio State also plays Minnesota. Now that it's going to be in Columbus without all of Minnesota's players. But, you know, if you look at what Ohio State did this weekend, they went to Penn State and they looked completely dominant on Saturday. But, you know, they were in a 50-50 game on Friday and lost in a shootout. So I think all these teams are capable of dropping points every weekend. I don't, you know, when Michigan or Minnesota is fully healthy, you can see them going in and kind of clearing teams out and getting 6. But other than that, it's tough to see any team really just getting 6 over anybody just without really even thinking about it. I mean, even Michigan had their lulls at times and had to recalibrate on Saturday and come back, and then they did. But, you know, Wisconsin's also probably, I would argue, I'd rather play Wisconsin than Michigan State, just because of the style of play. And you get, like, you get 6 goalies in the net and you give up a fluky one, and then you got everyone, you know, dying for Sparta. And it's just like, I just hate those games.
I think that you definitely want to sweep Michigan State, because that's a team that's reeling. They're going to play Minnesota this weekend. Minnesota will be shorthanded. We'll see what happens there. But you look at Michigan State, I mean, the month of January, they were 0-6, including getting swept up by Wisconsin. They're really playing poorly right now, and they continue to get outshot 40-20 in every game they play. And so that's a team that Michigan is definitely better than, even with the four Olympians subtracted from the roster. So, and again, you have one at home, one neutral site. You're not having to go into Munn at all. Like, this is, those are games you should win, but it's hockey. You never really know. So we'll see, I guess.
National team program game should be interesting. Michigan has, I think, three kids on the team: Nezar, Seamus Casey, and Hunter Berstowitz. So look for those guys if you're at Yost on Wednesday, and hopefully we'll see some really good goals from those guys and those guys alone.
It'll also be interesting to see what Michigan's lines are, because now you're going to actually, like what Alex touched on earlier, and we actually talked for a little while about this on the Hockey Cast, but just saying, all right, Michigan's pretty much going to be down to 12 forwards now. I mean, with Ciccolini still out, there's not a lot of guys left to scratch, so you're probably going to see Granowitz, and you're probably going to see Karanen fitting in someplace. And, you know, at this point, you're just going to fit together the best lines that you can and try to build some chemistry and find roles for each of them and how they can best be effective. And, you know, they have 2 weeks to really do that. And playing against Michigan State or the U.S. team, I kind of wish it wasn't Wednesday. I wish it was maybe next Wednesday, because, you know, you could then have some time and practice of getting this together before just throwing things out against a talented team. But, you know, that's probably the best. Yeah, like what you said, looking at those guys, but then seeing, okay, who is Michigan skating together?
Yeah. Right. It'll be interesting, too, just to watch those three guys that Brian mentioned, because the last time the NTDP came to Yost, I remember that game, and I remember thinking, like, Thomas Bortolo is the best player on the ice right now, even though he was not playing for Michigan. So if anyone looks like that, that'll probably be notable.
Yeah, I remember that game, too, where it looked like Bortolo had six eyes, but yeah, he's quality player. All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
See ya.
All right, and now it's time for a segment like Hot Takes. What could possibly go wrong?
The only thing we can be sure of about the future is that it will be absolutely fantastic. I'm thinking of the incredible breakthrough made possible by developments in communications.
Arthur C. Clarke's 1964 vision is now reality with SignalWire, a cloud platform that enables developers to build the applications that will reshape the future of communications.
These things will make possible a world in which we can be in instant contact with each other wherever we may be.
You can add cutting-edge, real-time video and audio to any product, website, or application with APIs and SDKs for developers of all skill sets. SignalWire is optimized for high quality and low latency communication functionality, for video, voice, and text messaging capabilities.
Almost any skill could be made independent of distance. Men will no longer commute, they will communicate.
See for yourself at SignalWire.com. Use code 2021 and receive $25 in developer credit. Go to SignalWire.com.
SignalWire Communications OGs, original geeks of programmable communication.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting U of M apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing in one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
It can be a rough ride along the information superhighway. That's why we build our e-commerce websites tough enough to handle the load. With the capacity to take hundreds of simultaneous online transactions and the stability of load-balanced co-located server architectures, a website from Human Element performs in the roughest conditions. Thousands of products? No problem. We'll throw in the tools to manage them with precision and efficiency. All with a design slick enough to make you think your girlfriend might be impressed. So load it up and hit the gas and let Human Element show you the way. Special offers available for returning lessees. Financing available with approved credit to qualified buyers. Client participation may affect savings. Optional equipment available at additional cost. See human-element.com for details.
During these challenging times, it is important to have a Michigan man in your corner.
If you or someone in your life has questions, concerns, or just want to discuss your legal rights, give attorney Jonathan Paul a call at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com. John asks you all to be safe. We're going to get through this together. And as always, go blue.
It's painless. It's online. It's group ordering made easy for your next custom-printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing will save you time and hassle, whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, UGP is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing down people to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out the order. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Jason, I need takes hotter than the opposite of Michigan shooting in the first half against Michigan State.
Or the second half. So lukewarm?
Or no? No, the opposite. Which
the opposite
really
of that.
Hot.
I know.
That would be
I got it. I'm saying the shooting was so bad that lukewarm would have been a tremendous opposite. That's how bad it was. It was so bad that if you were to go in the opposite direction, it would just get you to a level that was okay. Maryland-style shooting, if you... All right, anyway.
Oh, it was so cold that when I was skiing up north and I pulled out my phone to check the score on the chairlift because I was not watching that game, I actually got colder.
Hey-o! That's cool.
All right,
I went back and watched it later.
We're going to keep going. Seth, give me your hottest take.
Michigan's football coach next year is going to be Jim Harbaugh.
That is as hot as it gets. That dude is
gone. Relatively hot. You guys like were at signing of the Stars. Do you have any inside information? Got any tips?
Any tips? No, but it just seems like he's kicking the tires on everything. If he, if you were my girlfriend, I'd be like, this is over. it's time to start getting back up on the apps. But I don't know. Maybe it really comes down to, in my opinion, NFL interest at this point. Or this is the greatest contract play. Like you got to in a negotiation, you got to be willing to quote unquote walk away from the table if you want to get your price. In a contract negotiation, you got to be willing to do a second interview with the Minnesota Vikings. That's just standard contract negotiations, guys.
I mean,
look at it. XFL teams, I think we're really in trouble.
Starts working out with Johnny Manziel, we're screwed.
Why would you want to go from like one Big Ten town to another Big Ten town? Like, if you're Sarah, you got to be like, wait a minute. I'm in Ann Arbor. Well, Las Vegas, I get. But like there's Minneapolis?
There's the weather in Minnesota. Oh, wait. No, that's terrible, too.
I mean, maybe she really likes her cheese cooked inside hamburgers, and like Minnesota is the only place she can get that.
Come on, baby. Matt has a loosey-goosey, which is just a burger with cheese inside of the
burger. Juicy. Loosey-juicy is what it's called. Or Juicy Lucy, yeah. And they spell it wrong, too.
That's right. It's a good burger.
Randy, give me your hot take.
Caleb Houston is going to stay here 5 years, including a graduate year. And then at that point, he might be able to get drafted in the WNBA. I'm kidding. But I do think those guys need to stick around. All of them. I mean, I'm trying to think of it from an NBA perspective, and I'm like, more than 1 year, please. I think.
I mean, is Caleb going to get more athletic? Like the things that he does, I'm not sure that like he needs to develop more. He's just kind of.
I think he might learn how to. He might learn how to release quicker. He might learn how to. You know, is he less athletic than Nick Stauskas?
I'm
asking.
He can learn to play defense. He can. That's I think like his upside at this point. But like
right now, he's just a standstill shooter, which is fine. He's 6'5", but that's a
is
guy.
He 6'8"? Is he 6'8"?
I mean, 6'8". Yeah, sorry, yeah. 6'8". So that's probably translatable. But those guys are a dime a dozen in the NBA right now. So I mean, he's dropping on mock drafts into this. The second round at this point, and I would expect him to keep dropping to the point where it doesn't make sense for him to go.
It's bad when a mock draft is literally mocking you. That's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, but I do think he can learn how to release quicker. Learn how to shoot. I guess you could learn that in the G League, but under Juwan Howard, there's a lot that a player can learn to get himself ready to actually be NBA ready. So I would love to see him stick around because I actually think this team with a few years is not a bad team with a lot of young talent as they grow. It's just if they leave early, that's a problem.
Yeah, and that might be a spot where NIL helps out, right? Because now the financial decision about whether I should stay at Michigan, improve, be beloved by this fan base, get paid by them versus like I could go play for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants.
Right, right.
It's a little bit different. So,
well, I think it's a part of it. You say we have an opportunity to develop with a real NBA, a guy who's developed NBA, and just continue to show everybody Bam Adebayo's bank account and say he did this. Not that Caleb Houston is a big man, but you know he is bigger and he's not a 5'11" guard. So there's an opportunity to make some money if you stick with this guy and develop in this way. And then at the same time, like you said, the other portion of it is you can be making money at the same time. So I would love to see them stick around.
Yeah, I mean, some guys just want to go.
Right.
Like, I don't think that would have mattered to Iggy. Iggy just wanted to go.
That's right. It worked out great for him.
I mean, he's in the league, so.
He is.
In the
league. He is.
Yeah, I mean, the G League can prepare you in ways that, like, you know, you don't have to spend as much time on classes. You just actually can focus on your trade. So, like, if his thing is, I want to play basketball, I want to focus on my skills. If he was expecting to be a one-and-done in the first place, I would kind of imagine he'd be leaning more towards just going to the G League and developing those skills. Like if they tell him, look, you're going to have to learn how to shoot. Guess,
but like the G League is so much less fun.
Well, the G League is like playing football at Ohio State. You don't have to worry about classes. Well, I mean,
it's like, you know, you're going to an arena in the middle of nowhere filled with 24 people and
like a hockey playoff game.
You're not playing in the NCAA tournament. Like I think that college basketball is like, if you think you're going to develop in college basketball and you think you're going to make the same amount of money in college basketball, why wouldn't you do the thing that's awesome instead of playing the G League?
And to a house party where everyone's going to welcome you with open arms. Like sure. How many people in certain towns know their G League players? They don't. And I'll say this. I was listening to Keyshawn Johnson yesterday talk about, you know, talk about the Rams, the 49ers, and basically all the in the post-game wrap-up. And he was saying that big time college play. The Bengals are filled with big time college players who had to do it on a big level under huge pressure situations. I mean, I guess the G League can prepare you for playing in the bubble if there's another pandemic, because that's essentially the amount of fans that you'll be playing in front of. But they're saying that Joe Burrow stepped up because he won a national championship and had to play at a high level where before he got there in with fans and pressure and all that stuff, and Joe Mixon too. And so there is something to be said about it. That translating on a larger level, which is what you're saying.
Right.
Jason, give me your hottest take.
Michigan is a women's gymnastics school.
I actually went to the gymnastics meet this weekend. It was the first time I ever went to a gymnastics meet.
How great was it?
It was, well, gymnastics suffers from the problem where, like, you watch a basketball game and you're like, the ball went in the hoop. That was good. And with gymnastics, I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching, really. Like, I know you're not supposed to hop on the thing. And I know you're not supposed to balance check on the beam. But it's just really difficult to tell, like, ooh, that looked like this score or that looked like the other score.
So they could benefit from like a and one mixtape tour announcer whose voice goes into the.
Oh, baby, that's my goddaughter.
Yes.
That's my goddaughter.
Just explaining to you, the fans, what's going on and why that's great.
I saw that when UCLA was just huge because my daughter was in competitive gymnastics, I took her to Pauley Pavilion, which, by the way, was packed. I mean, every seat packed. And it was insane. It was, I watched Caitlin Ohashi, who she had just gotten the 10 that like circulated all around. And she basically did that routine. And I mean, the place went nuts. It was exciting. And you, they were the number one team at the time we saw them in Michigan. You've got the number one women's gymnastics team in the country. It's pretty exciting.
It's Brian, wholesome.
I want you to understand, like, this is what everyone who watches a hockey game with Michigan hockey fans of our generation feels like. When we're like, no, the score doesn't matter. That's like, that's not that, that the beauty with the way that he was playing defense. You just see how he shuffled there. Like the way that we end up talking about hockey during games, where we're like, no. Okay, yes, puck went in net, good, but that's not all that went on. That's what people feel like when they're sitting with us at hockey games.
You see the buildup. You see the buildup. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's an exciting time. You could also make the same argument for women's basketball. As we record, there's a huge game tonight. I'm more excited about that than other games.
And we told you the story of being in Bloomington, Indiana, doing comedy and seeing like the bus with a huge block M. We realized it's the women's softball team. And we kind of go and see them. And they're like, oh, we're playing the Big Ten tournament here. And we go watch the tournament.
Well, Carol Hutchins, like, can you come on the bus and talk to and pep up our players or whatever, give them a pep talk? We're like, sure. We get on the bus and she's like, do you know who these guys are? And we're like, please don't ask that question. Group of young people.
No, this is not.
There's going to be a whole lot of like,
no, I don't know
who they are. But fortunately, like, I think our episode of Grey's Anatomy had circulated to the team and they knew who we were. And we just started riling them up, getting them pumped up. And then we came to every single game. And because it was like, I don't know, I've never seen people have more fun than the women on that softball team. They would dance to our team in the field would dance to the other team's play, like
their walk-up music.
It was just fun. The games were fun. They came over to the fence and high-fived us before the game. It was exciting. It was fun. So I think we need to immediately stop thinking of our school as simply just a football or basketball school,
or even a football or basketball school.
Yeah, at this point, who knows?
This is reigning Big Ten champions in football. I mean, things are, we're just sitting around
things
waiting
are, on things are looking
whether
up.
The coach
things
is going up to the Vikings.
And basketball, we are still the reigning Big Ten champions.
And basketball, there you go.
But there's in times of questionable games after this weekend with the basketball game, let's focus on the fact that we have other sports, too, that are exciting. That's my point. Maybe it's not that hot of a take.
I'm slightly concerned because all of the songs that they use for the Beam, the Michigan team, are breakup songs. So I don't.
No, that's not good. Well, at least there's no Michael Jackson. I heard like Michael Jackson song. I was like, you cannot do that.
That one's out.
Play that. It's like, what are you going to follow that up with an R. Kelly song? You guys are ruining it.
Bad call. Bad idea, James.
Oh, wait. You're going to close it out with a Chris Brown song. Nice. Perfect.
The DJ actually did play Man in the Mirror at the beat. And I was like,
you cannot do that.
They also played Push It. And I'm like, there are so many children here.
That's right.
This is explicitly explicit.
But I'll say this, like, I was listening to like soft rock and I'm like, every soft rock song is about an affair that you're having. It's like deep betrayal of this and that. And I'm like, this is what gets played when you're at the dentist's office. I'm like, yes, it's soft, but like the subject material is deep and dark. I'm like, that's not what I want when I'm getting a root canal.
When my dentist is trying to talk to me while my mouth is open and I can't respond.
What do you want?
Like, I don't know. It's hardcore rap. Punk?
Yeah.
Hardcore rap or Daft Punk?
Korean pop music.
There you go. Korean pop's nice. BTS.
Well, I mean, Korean pop music is half that, though. You just can't understand what they're saying.
Right.
Unless you speak Korean, of course. Or the chorus is in English, which often is. Anyway.
We've gone off the rails.
Baby metal. Play some baby metal.
All right.
I think it's your hot take.
Yeah, Brian. Oh, it's my turn. That's right.
It's you, dude.
My hot take is Michigan is going to host the Big Ten championship game in hockey. Isn't that hot of a take?
No, but cool.
They,
They pulled 2 points ahead of Ohio State, and even though they're going to be down probably their four best players or four of the five or six for the next couple of weeks, you know, they played well enough against a Wisconsin team that's not very good that I feel like they're going to be able to ease it. And so they changed the playoff format because they were trying to hold them in like NHL arenas and literally no one would go. But if you win the league, you get a bye through the first round of the playoffs, and then you get to host the semifinal and the final.
Awesome. So, which is a huge advantage. I mean, they benefited. Yes. The Minnesota splitting this past weekend was good for them too.
Yeah. So Minnesota's now, I think they took 4 points. So they're like 6 points back, but they have, or they're like 8 points back, but they have a couple of games at hand. So they're right. they're not out of it either. The only problem is that they are going to play Ohio State during the Olympic break. So all four of their games against Ohio State will be severely shorthanded. So, and that's the team that they're competing with. But I think they're going to do it. I've come around on Portillo. I think Portillo's pretty good, and we're gonna do it.
We're gonna do it. I like
we're
it.
We're gonna do it. All right. If you have not had enough scores, go hit their podcast up. It's called View from the Cheap Seats. Comment with your hot takes in the comments of their podcast, and they will shower you with. Love. You're a no.
No,
that's no. Where?
Why? Why?
Not an R. Kelly song.
You could stop 75% away through that sentence and just not.
I could have not said that, but then, but it's really their fault for putting R. Kelly in my
that's
head.
That's right. That's so, right. That. We'll put it back. We'll put that comment back in the closet.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the MGlow Podcast. I'm Seth Fisher, along with Brian Cook. That was David Nashnick and Alex Terrain. Play some baby metal.